Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them
the
free.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. July 4th. You know, there is no place better to celebrate July 4th than with the faithful, God-fearing patriots of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. I'll be speaking on the meaning of July 4th. No other holiday has lost more of its meaning than July 4th has. And friend, it's time to remember. The Republicans hold a hearing on the origins of COVID-19. Nunez, Scalise, Gallagher, and some expert doctors in the panel, and Jim Jordan was there, and so on. And if I get time, I'll go into that. SCOTUS scored some points lately. And let's remember, friend, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic. A gourmet meal for the mind.
Let's remember, maybe you have not noticed it, but we are having the same kinds of conversations that were going on in the lead up to the war for independence from tyrannical George of England. Let's review the seven precepts of liberty as we approach July 4th. First, all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. And number two, these rights are inalienable, and that means they cannot be separated from any human being, either by force or by forfeiture. And number three, governments are instituted among men for the purpose of securing these rights, and they derive their just powers from God through the consent of the governed. And then number four, governments are divinely ordained by God and have divinely limited and defined authority, Romans 13, 1-6. And number five, governments that exceed these divine limits of government lose their divine authority, and they are vulnerable or susceptible to divine intervention by the King of Kings, and they are subject to the natural authority of the people. So if it's true that this government here in America no longer serves its divinely appointed purposes or has exceeded those divinely appointed and limited powers, then it doesn't have any authority. Also, if the government was stolen from the people, the usurpers have no authority from the people, and so it has no authority under God. Number six, the right of the people to redress tyrannical government. If forces arise adversarial to the interests of the governed and act contrary to the laws of the land, the people have the right to disobey unconstitutional laws. They may use every means available to them in their government and according to their laws to bring judgment upon those that are violating the laws of the people and to restore justice in the land through judgment. This failing, the right to resist tyrants. If patriots exercise this right to resist unconstitutional laws, or if the usurpers resist legal efforts to remove unconstitutionally appointed or installed leaders, and these usurpers attempt to use the force of arms to resist our legal efforts to right these wrongs. Well, it is the right of the people to take up arms in defense of their inalienable rights. It is their natural and divine right to resist the force of tyrants with force equal to the task of breaking their power to interfere with our rights. Now, this might surprise some of you listening to me, but really, I'm not saying anything that was not commonly said leading into the revolution. I've said nothing here that was not said often by our founders. I've said nothing here that has not been the basic beliefs of Americans from our founding. Now, let's look at some of the statements from our founders. And these declarations, many of them, are included in my book, God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Now, as I go through these quotations, remember Patrick Henry said that this country was not founded upon religion, but upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. And see, the witness we have from our founders of the influence of Christianity and the Bible upon our culture and upon the founding of this country. Here's Samuel Adams. May the peaceful and glorious reign of our divine Redeemer be known and enjoyed throughout the whole family of mankind. And another from Samuel Adams. May we, with true contrition of heart, to confess our sins to God and implore forgiveness through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ our Savior. How about that? How about John Hancock? Now, sensible of the importance of Christian piety and virtue to the order and happiness of a state, I cannot but earnestly commend to you every measure for their support and encouragement. And now another from John Hancock. Pray that universal happiness may be established in the world and that all may bow to the scepter of our Lord Jesus Christ and the whole earth be filled with his glory. I hear from John Jay. Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of a Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. End quote. And now another from John Jay. Whether our religion permits Christians to vote for infidel rulers is a question which permits more consideration than it seems yet to have generally received, either from the clergy or the laity. It appears to me that what the prophet said to Jehoshaphat about his attachment to Ahab, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord, 2 Chronicles 19:2, affords a salutary lesson. And now from John Witherspoon. Nothing is more certain than that a general profligacy and corruption of manners make a people ripe for destruction. A good form of government may hold the rotten materials together for some time, but beyond a certain pitch, even the best constitution will be ineffectual and slavery must ensue. I hope you're listening. Now from Joseph Story. Republics are created by the virtue, public spirit, and intelligence of the citizens. They fall when the wise are banished from the public councils because they dare to be honest, and the profligate are rewarded because they flatter the people in order to betray them. Now from Samuel Adams again. No people will tamely surrender their liberties, nor can any be easily subdued, when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved. On the contrary, when people are universally ignorant and debauched in their manners, they will sink under their own weight without the aid of foreign invaders. And another from Adams. The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I then believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God. Now from John Adams. The Holy Ghost carries on the whole Christian system in this earth. There is no authority, civil or religious. There can be no legitimate government but what is administered by this Holy Ghost. There can be no salvation without it. All without it is rebellion and perdition, or in more orthodox words, damnation. Again from John Adams, the Christian religion is, above all the religions that ever prevailed or existed in ancient or modern times, the religion of wisdom, virtue, equity, and humanity. And now John Quincy Adams, in the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior. The Declaration of Independence laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity. And now from a volume called The Works of Alexander Hamilton, we read, Hamilton suggested the Christian Constitutional Society, and he listed two goals for its formation. First, the support of the Christian religion, and second, the support of the Constitution of the United States. This organization was to have numerous clubs throughout each state which would meet regularly and work to elect to office those who reflected the goals of the Christian Constitutional Society. Now from James McHenry, public utility pleads most forcibly for the general distribution of the Holy Scriptures. Without the Bible, in vain do we increase penal laws and draw entrenchments around our institutions. In other words, the answer to increased violence in America is not fewer guns, but more Bibles and Bible reading. And now from Governor Morris, there must be religion. When that ligament is torn, society is disjointed and its members perish. The most important of all lessons is the denunciation of ruin to every state that rejects the precepts of religion. And now from Jedediah Morse, To the kindly influence of Christianity, we owe civil freedom and political and social happiness. All efforts made to destroy the foundations of our holy religion ultimately tend to the subversion also of our political freedom and happiness. In proportion as the genuine effects of Christianity are diminished in any nation, in the same proportion will the people of that nation recede from the blessings of genuine freedom. Whenever the pillars of Christianity shall be overthrown, our present republican forms of government and all the blessings which flow from them must fall with them. And believe me, the enemy knows that only too well. Here, again from Benjamin Morris, by renouncing the Bible, philosophers swing from their moorings upon all moral subjects. It is the only correct map of the human heart that ever has been published. The only means of establishing and perpetuating our republican forms of government is the universal education of our youth in the principles of Christianity by means of the Bible. My friend, as you can see in the years leading into and succeeding from the War for Independence, our founders recognized themselves to be Christians embarking upon the founding and framing of a Christian nation. It's important now to understand that America is organized to be led from the bottom, and I'll explain that after the break.
The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal to release noneparephrine neurotransmitters and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage. Warning, Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct. And even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public. We the people will take this nation back from the unreasonable and wicked men and women who have dragged this once great land to the maw of hell. Or we will fall into the power of those who hate Christ, Christians, and the Bible. Go to GodsWar2020.com. Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the truth, belfry art, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. And one more founder quote. The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure. Pelosi would want to arrest Thomas Jefferson and try him for treason. Now, you know, such language is always a threat to tyrants, and only a threat to tyrants. They can't bear to hear such talk. Government lapdogs and social media must censor such language. But that, my friends, well, that's our roots. And the American spirit receives its inspiration from Christianity, and directly from Christ the King. Cromwell said, "No king but Christ." And compelled by weak and sniveling, power-greedy parliamentarians, he was compelled to, well, take the crown, to bring down every crown to the feet of Jesus, the only true King of kings and Lord of lords. The spirit of liberty is the spirit of Christ Jesus. Indeed, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, the Lord is that spirit, Paul said by the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. It is important, especially now, to understand that America is organized to be led from the bottom up, from king priests unto God. We are being reminded of this today. A dark spirit of tyranny has risen in our land and clouded and blotted out the bright, warm sun of liberty. We trusted to our sacred ballots and found thieves there who stole from us our right to vote and took the office of the president like thieves, and also our House and Senate, you know, from us by theft. The ballot box has failed us. We're going to get it back, but as it is for now, this, it turns out, has been the source of so much rise of evil in our land, the theft of the people's right to vote. Nothing has corrupted our elections and stolen from the people their voice in the vote so much as voter and election fraud. We looked to our House of Representatives and they failed us. We looked to our Senate and they failed us. We looked to our courts and they disappointed us. We looked to our Vice President and he failed us. We looked to the state legislatures and they wobbled, and in their hesitancy, they failed us. Our governors and our mayors in major cities stood back and watched Antifa and BLM burn down our cities. Now, basically, I'm saying, when you look around, government has failed us. We looked to our esteemed leaders like Donald Trump and many of the other patriots who tried to stand against this. And true, they've never failed us. But Trump, with a band of patriots, indeed have fought against these. But we look to them and we're surprised to find they're looking back at us. They're waiting for us. We, the people, have the power. All government authority in America ultimately comes from we, the people. And we see it beginning to work. At the local levels, parents are rising up, patriots of this revival, the spirit of the original revolution. Our fathers and mothers are stepping into the battle and resisting the devil that's taken hold of our education system. And as they resist, you know what? The devil retreats. Our citizens are demanding audits of the election. Our true citizen leaders, emboldened by the rising support from the grassroots, from among we the people, are gaining greater courage to act on their behalf and act according to their convictions and rather than their convenience. To stand against the intimidation, the bullying, the abuse of power, my friend, if we stand, we will prevail. Hundreds of examples of ordinary people stepping up to take a stand against the corruption in the education establishment, the medical establishment, the political establishment. And it's the Christians, my friend, ultimately. It's the God and country patriot that's leading the way. For Jesus is king and all mankind are his subjects. The spirit of Jesus Christ, the King, is in us, and he is greater than the spirit of Antichrist that is in, well, them. You see, friend, we need to be reminded from time to time that the heavens do rule, not Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and all that crowd. Daniel 4:17-26, the watchers, you know, they're angels that are appointed by God to attend to earthly matters. They watch and make heavenly decrees. And so on, the decree of the watchers came upon the proud ruler there in Babylon, who forgot that the heavens rule and that it is the Almighty God who gives the kingdom to whomever he pleases. These wicked ones who take it can't hold it if we rise against them. These watchers decreed back then that the proud ruler would be humbled, reduced to dwell with the oxen and eat grass among them for 7 years. Proud Schumer and AOC, who despise Christianity, Pelosi and Schiff, who defy the God of heaven by their wicked devices, Obama and Clinton and Biden too, Arrogant and Harris, throw her in there, arrogant in their secret blasphemies and in their lies, they deny him who is the real power of the people, who say effectively to the poor, let them eat cake, you know, that kind of attitude. Well, to the prideful public, you know, the ones, you can't fly planes, we can, you can't drive cars, we can, you can't use, you get the idea. And all who participated in stealing from the people their labor through onerous taxation, their liberties through onerous regulations, and denying to them the recourse to redress these grievances through the ballot box by stealing away their power of the vote, I say to them, let them eat grass. May their fingernails grow long like eagle's claws, and stripped of their power, naked, driven fully into the madness of their own corruption. Let them be seen by all who behold them as the lowly beasts they are, losing the powers of human reason, which powers they have abused to oppress their fellow man. Let them be driven insanely out into the wilderness. Let them remain there till they confess the heavens do rule. You see, the point here is it's spiritual. It's a spiritual war that plays out in physical events. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. We submit to God and then resist the devil. He must flee. And when the devil flees, those in this world who are supported by his spiritual power, they lose that influence and so collapse in hopeless defeat before the glorious light of our King, the truth. The prince of the power of the air is the spirit that works in and through the children of disobedience, and that's the spirit of tyranny. And they are energized and guided by the dark wisdom and wiles of the devil himself, and their power is real, make no mistake, and it is substantial. To be sure, but these are no match for us who are the children of obedience. For the spirit that works in the children of obedience, well, that's the spirit of liberty. The spirit of the King himself. He guides us. He empowers us. He works in and through us and scatters the power of the spirit of Antichrist and empowers us to rise up and reclaim and take back the territory that belongs to Jesus Christ. Stand. And in Jesus' name, rise up and resist the devil of oppression and lies and deceit and fear. If you have not joined the children of obedience, here's how to do it right now. First, remember, Patrick Henry said, this nation wasn't built on religion, but upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so first understand the gospel command must be obeyed. For if you fail to obey the gospel, the Bible says God will, quote, in flaming fire, take vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Thessalonians 1:8. Well, what is the gospel and what does it command? The word means good news. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-3 tells us the gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead, rose from the grave according to the scriptures. So, according to the scriptures, Jesus is the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, John 1, verse 1. The Word became flesh, John 1, verse 14. The Word was made flesh, and as the Son of God, he was, as Paul said by the Spirit in 1 Timothy 3:16, God manifest in the flesh. According to the scriptures, Jesus died, not for his sins, but for ours. You see, according to the scriptures, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And according to the scriptures, the wages of sin is death, and then that's Romans 6:23. And then further, according to the scriptures, after death, there is judgment, Hebrews 9:27. That judgment is the promised flaming fire we talked about earlier, the place where the lost man Jesus talked about in Luke 16 died and was buried, and, quote, in hell, he lift up his eyes being in torments. Jesus died to pay the wages of our sins and to deliver us from that place. He died for all mankind. He died for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world, 1 John 2, 1-2. And that means he died for your sins too, friend. By his death, he paid the wages. Satan lost his power. He no longer can hold any man in sin or under his power. Then Jesus arose from the grave, and he took the power of death away from Satan. And he promises now to save all who will obey the gospel. And by obeying the gospel, you become a child of obedience. And you are no longer a child of disobedience. What does the gospel command? Well, you must repent and believe on Jesus Christ. Through repentance, we turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Acts 26:18. I mean, you just turn from Satan and walk away. Then you believe on Jesus Christ, who promised to receive you and forgive you, so that you can then receive the forgiveness of sins, which is yours when you receive Jesus Christ. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. John 1, 13-14. And this, my friend, is the remission of sins, the remittance, the payment that Jesus made on the cross so that we can have eternal life, so that we can be forgiven. That's why Jesus told us, we must preach repentance and remission of sins. Those who refuse to obey the gospel, well, they are the children of disobedience. They refuse to acknowledge that Jesus is King. They reject him and his rule in the earth and in their lives. They fight against his rule in the earth. They rage with the unbelievers to break his bands asunder and cast his cords from them. They refuse his authority, you see. They invariably surrender, however, interestingly, to the tyranny of men. They are goats, not sheep. They're stubborn and willful and full of pride, goat-like, you know. They are like the goat they serve. That gender-blended cherub, that satanic symbol, is like them. They are not the sheep of Christ's pasture, who hear the voice of the shepherd and follow him. Unlike the goat follows after whoever has something they want. The sheep hear only the voice of the shepherd and follow him. So, if you want to follow the spirit of liberty, become one of Christ's sheep. My friend, it's the goats who are out there running toward the tyrants and submitting to the tyrants, not the sheep. Anyway, if you want to follow the spirit of liberty, become one of Christ's sheep. But if you want to follow the spirit of tyranny, follow those who are rebellious against Christ and his rules in your life and in this world. If you have any questions about any of this, let me know. I've got a book called The Unabridged Gospel, and we will make it available to you free if you call 805-314-2114 and let us make that a July 4th special gift to you. And let us know you want a copy. Only the truth will make you and keep you free. Remember, where the Spirit of the Lord is, only there will you find liberty. So come on out to the Lighthouse Baptist Church and worship with us this July 4th as we celebrate our liberties. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Call 1-805-314-2114. That's 805-314-2114. Ask for the Unabridged Gospel gift and or for instructions about our services tomorrow, or leave a message for me. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World. A shocking statement to many, but our founders didn't think so. John Jay believed Christians should prefer believers to rule our nation because Jesus is the King and all mankind are subject to his crown. Our founding fathers understood this and acknowledged Christ as King. Satan once boasted all the kingdoms of the world were his, but no longer, because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over this world and cast the prince of this world out. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus sent his spirit into the world, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where the spirit of Antichrist is, there is tyranny. The spirit of Jesus Christ is greater than the spirit of Antichrist. Now, you can learn how to unleash the power of Christ into the world to defeat the spirit of Antichrist. Learn how you can defend liberty through the authority of Jesus Christ. Get God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World today. www.godswar2020.com. Go to godswar2020.com. We the people will take this nation back from the unreasonable and wicked men and women who have dragged this once great land to the maw of hell. Or we will fall into the power of those who hate Christ, Christians, and the Bible. The choice is clear. One side wants to remove America out from under God. The other side wants to reaffirm America as one nation under God. One side wants to force homosexuality, promiscuity, and abortion to term on all of us. They want to force us to recognize 51 genders. They want to take away our right to self-defense. They want to encourage men to think they're girls and force our girls to compete with men in athletics. They are unreasonable and wicked. We must stand against this spirit of Antichrist. The choice is clear. The battle for America is on. Choose your side: the spirit of Jesus Christ and liberty, or the spirit of Antichrist and tyranny.